right, so in Acts chapter 19, we've been in Acts the last few weeks here, going through, like I said, the first events after the resurrection of Jesus and some of the major things that happened with the first apostles and how they spread Christianity. Well, in Acts chapter 19, it's a really fascinating chapter because it goes through Paul's journey. I think it's Paul, maybe Peter, I already went that up here. And he goes through his journey, basically, of sharing the gospel with those that are lost in this area that's famous for idol worshiping. And it's called Ephesus, which you get the letter of Ephesians in the Bible. It's written to the church in Ephesus. That comes later on. But and right now, this area of Ephesus is dominated by idol worshiping, okay? And they go in there sharing the gospel and the truth of Jesus Christ, but they're not welcomed with open arms from all people. And we're going to see that here in a second. They, even though they're doing the right thing, even though they're sharing the gospel, and when the message they're teaching is true, and because people turning away from these idols that they're worshiping and turning to Jesus, they're going to have eternal life, and they're going to feel this freedom and this love and this peace and this joy that worshiping these idols is never going to give them. So all they're doing is a great thing here. You're going to see there's certain people that are in major opposition to what they're doing. And they're going to majorly push back against this. And that's going to be true in our lives today, too, as we share the gospel. But how they respond is really key tonight. So before we kind of dive into the story, what are some of you guys' favorite things? If you guys could list a few favorite things.
Food.
Yes, food, okay. Food, okay.
Don't trip, Riley.
I know.
My dog.
Your dog, okay. Your pants.
Gaming. Eating.
Said gaming, okay.
My brother and my mother, how much he annoys me.
Okay.
Family.
Your eating. Family, that's good. We'll put a check mark on food.
Eating. Music.
Eating.
Music.
Okay, it's kind of quiz. I'll put
music. 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 Music.
Okay, we'll put a side note, eating as well, okay.
Music.
What about music? Okay, like hobbies thing? Music, okay.
Sports.
Yeah, I love sports as well. We put that down. What else? What else you guys really love?
Wait, what's the list
ready? So you got food, pets, gaming, family,
church.
Music, sports. Sure, okay, that's good. That's a good one. Okay, now I want to put one more on the list as well. And a lot of these include this, okay, is money. Okay, a lot of people love money, okay?
Yes.
And obviously, if you have a lot of money, you can do more gaming, you can do more activities, you can buy more pets, you can do a lot of food, eat some nicer food. So, a lot of things revolve around money, especially in America. We live in a very capitalistic culture, and so we're all about making money and, you know, showing off our wealth and buying all these things. So, what would you guys think about here is these things that are outside of the church, so like you're gaming and, you know, eating like really nice food and music and sports, things like that. If you ask yourself a serious question tonight, would you rather do those things or do something that God is calling you to do? Now, God could use those things you're involved in of His glory. But if you had a choice to make, what you have to think about something. If you had a choice to make about a practice, like, am I going to go to football practice tonight, or am I going to go to church? You know, that's going to happen a lot of times. You don't have decisions like that. You know, am I going to, you know, stay up late playing games, video games, and miss church on Sunday morning, or am I going to put the video games down tonight so I can get some sleep so I can wake up and be alert and attentive at church on Sunday? You have to ask yourself, what would you rather do? And the answer is, I think all of us, at least at some point in our life, would answer that we are pretty selfish, okay? A lot of times we do things that really have no eternal impact, but they're fun, we enjoy them, we like to do them, and we get addicted to those things. And when you get so addicted to those things, then even though you know it's wrong, and you know that I really shouldn't be doing this because it's taking me away from something else that I should do, we have a hard time stopping it. So, I want you guys to think about this example here. For instance, like, video games are good. I used to play video games a lot, especially when I was in college, played all the time. And video games aren't necessarily a bad thing. But if you play video games all the time, and that begins to consume all your time to where, again, you're late for church, maybe your grades are slipping, you're not really interacting with your friends or your family as you should, then it becomes a problem. And it becomes what they call your idol in your life. Whatever you spend the most time and energy toward, outside of like things like school and things you can't control, but the things you can control, whatever you spend the most time and energy focusing toward, it's what you value most in life. It could be a person, it could be an idol. A lot of people, it's money. A lot of people, it's their jobs, it's the professions they do. It's where everything they have is their job. But in the meantime, their families are suffering, their kids are suffering, things like that. So I want you guys to think about, what do you pour your most time and energy into? Because whatever that is, that's very easily your idol in your life. Now I want you to keep that in mind, the concept of idols here, okay? Keep that concept in mind. And then think about this. If God called you today to give that up, say, I want you to stop playing video games, whether it's for a season or just maybe stop altogether, whether it's sports or music or whatever. He said, I want you to stop that because I have a plan and mission for you. And when you're doing that, it's going to take you away from that. Could you let that go? And if the answer is no, then that's probably more valuable to you than ultimately following God, whatever he's calling you to do. I want you guys to think about this concept, okay? Because we're going to read the story in Acts, and we're going to be like, these guys are so crazy. These guys, like, how in the world would they make that decision? But if you think about your current situation in the 21st century, and you put yourself back in their shoes, it starts to make sense why they have a hard time letting go of what they have a hard time letting go of. So I want to read it all to you guys here. Again, it's in Acts chapter 19. It is Paul. I got confused reading Peter last week. Okay, so in Acts chapter 19, it says, and it happened while Paul's was at Corinth. Oh, I'm sorry. We're in verse 21 here. Skip it along here. In verse 21, it says, when these things were accomplished, Paul, purpose in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent to Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Aretas, but he himself stayed in Asia for a time. And about that time, there arose a great commotion about the way. Now here's what's happening, okay? In this town, right before the story takes place, this town is famous for worshiping the goddess Artemis, okay? Have you ever heard of Artemis before? It's a pretty popular Greek god. And so, back in this town in Ephesus, they loved to worship Artemis, okay? They believed that she would give them, you know, wealth and joy, and she provided for them, and if they worshiped her, life was going to be good, okay? Now, this seems kind of stupid a lot of times to us in today's century, but they truly believe this, okay? And Artemis, kind of like in Buddha today, you have like little statues to kind of remind you of that person. And a lot of times they worship those statues, Hinduism, and do that kind of thing. Well, they were famous in Ephesus for having little statues of Artemis. And they would worship these statues. They would keep them in their houses, you know, probably in their local shops, things like that. And it kind of reminded them that Artemis is near. And then when they saw the statue, they remember to worship Artemis, and things like that. So, what's crazy is a lot of people in Ephesus, because it was so popular and basically everybody was doing this, they made a lot of money off of selling these little idols. Okay? So you almost think about like a little gift shop today. Like you come through Ephesus, like, oh, guys, get your Artemis statue here, $5.99. Back then, that people would buy these statues on a regular basis that lived in the area. And so, people made a lot of money off of doing this. So Paul comes in and starts teaching the truth about the gospel and how following Artemis is not the way. Following Jesus is the way. So that's why it says here, there's this commotion about the way, basically like what way to live and who to follow. So people start realizing that they're wrong, that this idol worship is basically stupid, it's pointless. And that worshiping Jesus, he's actually alive, and He's the real Messiah. That's what we should do. So they start burning their idols. They start burning their idols and their books and everything basically that represents Artemis and these Greek gods. They didn't just follow Artemis, but other gods, goddesses they followed. So if you think about this, if a whole bunch of people came together and threw a bunch of books in a pile, a bunch of little statues, to set it on fire, and you have this massive burn pile, and everybody's burning these idols, if you're somebody that sells these idols, how is it going to make you feel? You're going to start freaking out about the business a little bit. You're going to be thinking, okay, if everybody's turning away from this, I'm not going to sell any more idols anymore. I'm not going to make any more money. And so I'm going to go broke. And so that's what you're going to see here in the story, is these people that are selling these idols get really, really mad and offended because their highest priority in life is not about the truth. Even if they know that's the right way, they want to make money. And so here's what happens. It says, "And about that time, there arose a great commotion about the way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen." So again, they're making lots of money doing this. He's making silver shrines of Diana. "He called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, 'Men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods, which are made with hands. So only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into this, basically into destruction. But also our temple for the goddess of Diana may be despised, and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. Now when they heard this, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, 'Great is Diana of Ephesus.'" And it says Diana here a lot. I believe they also worship Artemis a lot. They also, again, they worship mortal goddesses. It says, "So the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater with one accord." So think about this. All these guys get together that are selling these idols, and they basically agree that they're going to go and attack these men. And they're gonna take back, you know, their religion, not necessarily because they really believe in their religion, but because they want to make money again. And so they seize these men and rush into a theater, and they get this whole crowd to start chanting, basically, "We love Diana, we're going to worship this goddess again. You guys are crazy, you guys are wrong, get out of here," that kind of deal. So how would you feel if you're these Christian men and this scene starts taking place? You're probably going to feel like, oh, life might be in danger here. This might be the end. And in some ways, you may feel like, well, God, well, you know, why are you letting this happen to me? I'm doing the right thing. I'm preaching the truth. People are seeing, you know, why following Jesus was the right way. And now we're getting all this crazy pushback. But watch how they respond. I want you to watch how they respond. And it teaches us something here tonight. It says, "And when Paul," and this is starting in verse 30. "And when Paul wanted to go into the people, the disciples would not allow him. And some of the officials of Asia, who were his friends, sent to him, pleading that some that he would not venture to the theater. Some therefore cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused, and most of them did not know why they had come together." I think it's kind of funny to think about that. Always people in this theater rushing these people, and most people that are there are like, "I don't even know why we're doing this. We're just kind of doing it, you know." And you can think about like school, like especially getting in a fight at school. You know, if you're like one of the last guys to get to the fight, and there's like a bunch of people huddled up, you're just like cheering on. You don't even know who's fighting. You're just like kind of there. Everyone else is there. And although it's not right, you're like, well, everyone else is cheering. I might as well cheer too. That's kind of what you're experiencing here. Is these people don't even know why they're going. They're just following the crowd and chanting. They don't even want to chant. As it continues here, it says, "Some therefore cried one thing and some another, they were confused. And they drew Alexander out of this multitude, the Jews putting him forth. And Alexander motioned with his hand and wanted to make his defense to the people. But when they found out that he was a Jew, all with one voice cried out for about 2 hours, 'Great is Diana of Ephesians.'" I don't know what that means. 2 hours, people crying this out. They're pretty committed. You gotta give him credit for that. We give it to these goddesses. And then it says, and when the city clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, men of Ephesus, what man is there who does not know that the city of Ephesians is temple guardian of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Zeus? Therefore, since these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. For you have brought these men here who are neither robbers of temples nor blasphemers of your goddesses. Therefore, if Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a case against anyone, the courts are open, and they can prosecute them. So it says, let them bring charges against one another, but if you have any other inquiry to make, it shall be determined in the lawful assembly. For we are in danger of being called in question for today's uproar, being no reason for which you may give to account for this disorderly gathering. And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly. So basically, this guy comes in and says, these men aren't trying to destroy anything. These men aren't trying to say, you know, you're horrible people for worshiping this goddess. You know, they believe in this religion, you believe in this religion. You guys leave peacefully, and if you have a dispute, we'll bring it to court. So it kind of ceases, and things go on. But what I want you guys to think about in the story here is this. Can you give it up if God commanded you? Again, what is your idol in your life? It might not be a little statue like that, or a Greek goddess, hopefully not. But it could be sports, it could be music, it could be video games, it could be Facebook, it could be social media, Instagram, Snapchat. There's a lot of people that are TikTok addicted. You know, they don't necessarily even enjoy some of the videos, they just scroll countless hours a day just because they've done it for so long and their mind's addicted to it now. And so, can you put that down, one, to do important things in life that actually have significant influence in your life eternally, more so for the gospel, and ultimately, if God called you to get rid of it altogether, could you do it? Could you do it or could you not? And the thing here, if you couldn't do it, it shows you who or what really has your heart tonight. And I want you to think about that. If God Jesus came down to earth today, and it was like Elijah, I'm going to tell you what the most important thing in your life is. If you're honest with yourself, what would he say? If he said it to Bradley or Wyatt or Victoria, you know, if Jesus were to come down today and say, Victoria, I know the most important thing in your life is so-and-so. If you were honest with yourself, what would Jesus say is the most important thing in your heart? Is it him? Is it the gospel? Or is it something else entirely? And if it's something else entirely, then your actions will always choose to uplift that, even if it destroys other things. And so I want you guys to think about this. A lot of people that I went to college with were addicted to like pornography and things like that. Okay, one of the guys in my dorm were. And if you can't cut that, and it's not necessarily easy to cut some of those habits. You might need to get help, maybe go to therapy, maybe you talk to somebody. You have to take steps to do that. But if you're not working to cut that out of your life, if you get into a great relationship with somebody later on in your life, and that's a real struggle for you, and you can't let that go, it will wreck that relationship eventually. And that relationship that you have that is a really good relationship, you're going to ruin it because you couldn't let go of something that you know is not right. You got addicted to it, and now you're stuck in the cycle. Same thing is true with like social media. If you're addicted to social media and you just countlessly scroll for hours and hours a day, then when you eventually get into a good relationship with somebody, you're going to have a hard time spending quality time with them. A lot of couples now will get together and they're both on their phones the whole time and they're not really connected. And because of that, they eventually grow apart and they separate. So I want you guys to think about, again, what is the most important thing in your life today? Because the relationships you have with people, what you do for the gospel, ultimately, how you love Jesus, and as you're following him, is the most important thing. So Jesus tells us that all the things in this world are fading away. All our sports, our music, Facebook, social media, TikTok, whatever you want to say, eventually when you die, none of that goes with you. And eventually, when this earth eventually fades away, when only God knows when that will happen, none of that stuff's going to last. The only thing that's going to matter when you face Jesus face to face in heaven one day is, did you follow him? And what did you do for him? Did you love people? And in the relationship that God blessed you with, whether it was a boyfriend, girlfriend, whether it was a best friend, whether it was just like a teammate in sports, the relationships that God blessed you with in your life, how are you treating those people? Are you loving them? Are you kind to them? Are you respectful of them? Do you honor them? You know, how do you treat those people? And ultimately, are you sharing the gospel, the good news, that Jesus came and died for your sin, but also their sin? And he's alive today. If you turn away from your sin and turn to him, he promises to forgive you. And that one day when you die, you'll be in heaven with him for all eternity. Where there's no pain, there's no death, there's no suffering. None of this evil. Are you doing those things to make an eternal difference in somebody's life? Or are you valuing it temporary above anything else? So I want you guys to think about who or what it has your heart tonight. Know your faith and resist the temptation to join the crowd. Because if you're not a very strong Christian, even if you are, but especially if you're not a strong Christian, meaning that like maybe you don't know the Bible super well, maybe you don't have a real active prayer life, things like that. When the world tempts you to do something that maybe isn't right or doesn't seem right, but they're putting a lot of pressure on you, hey, if you don't do this, you're not cool, or you're stupid for not doing this, then that temptation becomes very heavy, and you may be inclined to join the crowd because you don't want to be made fun of, you don't want to stick out, and things like that. But if you know your faith, you know what's really right and wrong because you know the Bible, you're reading God's word actively, you're praying, you're trying to follow him more and more. When these things come up, and people say, hey, you should do this, or hey, you should look at this, your spirit's going to have that check and say, that's not right. I shouldn't do that. No, you guys go ahead, I'm going to stay back. And because of that, you're going to save yourself a lot of heartache, a lot of trouble, because you're going to avoid a lot of mistakes in your life. Because when you stop joining the crowd, and you stop doing those sinful things, and you start really living a life that God called you to live, sure, you may miss out, quote unquote, on certain things. You're going to have a kind of love and a joy and a peace that only comes from the Holy Spirit. And that these people that have they're involved in these parties and these events and things that aren't really good, they're never going to have that kind of joy and peace in their life. Most of them end up very depressed. And most of them have a lot of anxiety because those things don't last. They don't fulfill you. And I was telling you guys last week, there's a reason that in America, the anxiety rates right now, depression rates for teenagers and young adults are higher than they ever have been over the last 10 years. A lot of that's because a lot of people have gone away from, you know, living the life that God called them to, and we have this mindset in America now, just do whatever you think is fun. Do what you want to do, live your best life now kind of thing. And living your best life now, in the world's terms, involves a lot of sinful things. And when you get involved in those things, it can be fun for a little while. But once that high or that fun kind of wears off, it leaves you more broken than you were in the beginning. It never really lasts. And so the only life that's really going to fulfill you is a life dedicated to the gospel of Jesus. And so again, where is your heart today? Does he have your heart? Or does something else have your heart? And if so, what can you do to turn back to him? So let me pray for us and we'll close. Lord, I pray that as we go about our daily life, as we dive deeper, God, into your word, and as we have a more active prayer life, and we go to church more, we learn more about you, as we take your lessons, we hide them in our heart, so when the world does challenge us to go a different way, we can stand firm in you, God. As we see your will clearly for our lives, I ask, Lord, you just forgive us of our sins, and we turn away from those. We dedicate our life to following you going forward. And if we do that, Lord, we know that we will be saved for all eternity. And while we're here on earth, your Holy Spirit will guide us into your will, and we can lead more and more people to you as well. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. All right, I'll pause this.